Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the Entertainment Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our Prayer Room Ministry. So delighted this evening to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God on today. I just give God all the praise and glory, magnifying his holy name today. He is such a good God, and he's so worthy. God is so worthy to be praised. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We'll just have Bible study on tonight. Thursday night, we will not have Bible study because it will be the second Thursday, but we have it on the first and third Thursday as well. But we're going to read tonight Psalms 6 and 7, but we're going to get through with our devotion. I'm going to read from Psalms 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for the goodness sake, O Lord. The good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. I have just read you from Psalms 25, from the first verse to the 11th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. So my life you have been faithful. So my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah. With all my life you have been saved. Oh, yes, you have. Oh, I will sing
of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. With my life.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come right now, God, just confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight, God. Father, I come right now, God, asking you to let me decrease tonight, God, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us and teach us tonight, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to move me, God. Move me, God, from this vessel that the Holy Spirit may take up this vessel and take over this vessel, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you tonight, God, to search our hearts and our minds, in our spirits, if there is anything in there, God, that's not like you, remove it, God, that we may be able to understand your word just like it's written in the book, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know we need you. We need you, and we can't make it without you. So, Lord, I'm asking you, God, to let the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, take over and take control on tonight, in the name of Jesus. I have no power and authority of myself, and I surrender any kind of will that I have, any kind of way that I have, in the name of Jesus, that may get in the way of teaching, God, of letting the Holy Ghost have his way on tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. God, bless every member on tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the ones that's here and the ones that's not, God. We still thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask you right now, in Jesus' name, I pray and I ask all these things. Amen, amen. And we bind up the strong man. We bind up the strong man tonight. We bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, every medium, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled right now. Every negative word, every negative thought, every negative intention in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind up right now. We ask you to send it to a dry place, burn up every witch. I bind them up. I cast them out. And I command them to go from our lives and from this radio broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen. We're going to get ready to have the reading of the word of God.
Amen. 2 Samuel 6. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they took the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out to the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill in Uzzah, and Ahio and sons of Abinadab drove the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on string instruments, and tambourines, and sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of his place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Jephthite. The ark of God remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Jephthite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his house. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw the king David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she depressed him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in place in the midst of the tabernacle of David as erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and men, to every one a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his house, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovered himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord of Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be in honor, but I will be held in honor." Before Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Amen. The word of the Lord.
And then, oh, shoot. Chapter 7. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about him all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, as the Lord telleth thee, that he will make thee an house, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity. I will test him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee, and thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also to thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of men, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant for thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Therefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their God. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning the house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let the name be magnified forever. Saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God. Hold on, baby. And thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. He's going to answer our questions on chapter 6. The first question is, what happened to Uzzah when bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem? It's in verse 6.
He died. And then, well, he died because he touched it and it angered the Lord.
Yeah, because that was the law. You know, the Levites are forbidden to touch the ark. You know, they'll be put to death if they did. And he was, he was the first, he was the first person that that happened to. Mm-hmm. And it says why. and we just said it. You know, because to me, he wasn't sanctified or ceremonial clean. He wasn't clean or sanctified. Sanctified means to set apart. And you have to go by the laws that God had written. And then over in First Chronicles chapter 15, you can see where it says you can't touch the ark. So, excuse me, that's where the Spirit of God dwells between the cherubim. So, you know, and to me, when I was reading, I just got a feeling that he didn't touch it with his hand, but his intentions was to touch it. He just intended to touch it. I don't really believe he even touched it, but his intentions was to touch it, and God smote him, and he died from that smoke, baby. Mm-hmm. Where was the Ark of the Covenant left? In verse 10.
The city of David?
Obed-Edom. You know these cities named after these people. Obed-Edom. He was at the house of Obed-Edom, the ark. And what happened in this place? Verse 11. God blessed the house. That's what happened in verse 11. God blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household for letting David bring the Ark of the Covenant there. Mm-hmm. That's why he blessed them. Okay. Why did David take off his robe before the Ark of the Covenant? Should be in verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was girded with linen ephod. So David and all his household of Israel brought up the ark. Let me see. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city, I didn't pass there. David danced, I say 14, because that's when if he danced, so he danced out of his clothes. Mm-hmm. And where it says, why did David take off his robe before the Ark of the Covenant? Said why not? And it's only because David was, called himself, humbling himself before the Lord. He went into a high praise before the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's what he called himself doing, going into a high praise and stuff, and dancing so hard for the Lord that he came out of his clothes. Back then, dancing was like a religious ceremony, and most of the time, the Hindus danced, and they called that was like a act of devotion to their idol god. And but that David considered it in the same light, but to his to the Savior, to God, to the Father. But he was called himself, humbling himself before the Lord and kind of praising him, to honor him, to praise him and stuff. So that's why he danced out of his clothes. He was skipping and jumping so hard, he came right on out of some clothes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to chapter 7 now because there ain't no more questions right there. Chapter 7, what did David want to be of for God? It's in verse 5. Go and tell my servant David, thus said the Lord, shall thou build me a house for me to dwell in it? That's what David wanted to do. He wanted to build a house of cedar for God to live in. Who did God say would build a house? I can't find the verse, but I know the answer. He told David that Solomon was going to build it for him, David's son. Why did he tell David that? Do anybody know? Because David had too much blood on his hand. He had killed too many people. See, when you trying to do something for the Lord, you got to be set apart. You can't live like everybody else lives. Even though God loved David, David was the king and all of that. But David was warned. He was the captain over. He had killed so many people. You know. Even when Saul was the king, David was killing people and stuff like that. And he told him he had committed iniquity. And the departed from the holy commandment. So he didn't want him to build the house for him. He was going to let his son build the house and by his son building the house, he promised David what he was going to do for his son in building the house. So I don't know where I've seen the promises. Let me see. He had promised David what he was going to do. Let me look in my other Bible. Do for Saul, meaning for Solomon, for building his house. Okay, the greatest covenant that, let me see, David. Okay, number one, he had made this covenant graciously with David, including the following provisions for Solomon. David would have a son who would succeed him and establish his kingdom. The son Solomon, rather than David, would build the temple. The throne of Solomon's kingdom would be established forever. David's sins justified chastening, but God's mercy and his love for David just blotted it out, and it would and he would love David forever. See, when you When David had did so much killing and stuff, and God had told David he could do this stuff, but when it comes doing, you know, the things of God, that's so precious and just so how can I say it? It had to be somebody that had not sinned. I'll put it like that. Didn't have no sin on them right then. So he was going to try to keep Solomon where he wouldn't sin before he could build the house of God. And But he promised David he would do that. And he was going to, David's house, kingdom, and throne would be established forever. The covenant did not guarantee uninterrupted rule by David's family. In fact, the Babylonian exile interrupted it, but it did promise that the right to rule would always remain with David's dynasty. Jesus Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of these promises. And although at this present time he is not ruling from the throne of David, at his second coming, he will assume this throne. So it goes so much further than David and Solomon. It connects right on to Jesus Christ. This chapter, these chapters were so important to us. And I know people may have gotten confused on this because I was out of town last week. But I am really disappointed. I mean, we just keep putting God last. I don't understand it. We just keep putting them last. And maybe they studying somewhere else, but I got to keep on moving forward. I can't let that stop me because I shouldn't have to answer all these questions, and it shouldn't be more than the readers on this line. It should be more. And I don't care if they say they was confused or not. It's bad. And then people think you want to help them be affirmed and ordained and licensed. Not me. I'm not. I'm telling you, unless God give me the okay, they better go somewhere else and get their stuff. Because I'm not going to sit up. I be praying and doing all kind of stuff for people all day long. And if I have time to study a little bit or read it a little bit, everybody else, and could be on the line. If you didn't know it, just be here to support. It's something. I'm praying. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm praying because let me tell you something. This go to show you, even though he loved David, because David was a man after God's own heart, God still would not let David do the ultimate thing that he wanted David to do. If he don't put up with David, you think he gonna put up with us? Heck no. He ain't gonna put up with us and we think we're gonna be blessed. I could say they might have got confused. I just thought that's the way I'm gonna leave it. But it should be more than you two on this line. Should be more. I'm just telling you, and I ain't gonna have to keep texting somebody every week and tell them it's Bible study. I'm not gonna do that, not now, not a time. But when it's time for you to be affirmed, when it's time for you to be licensed and ordained, it will not happen. I'm telling you, I'm not going to do it. So you know, it upsets me because even me, like the last job I had, I put these things before I put God's stuff. That won't happen again. That won't happen again. Even though I'm going out of town, I guess, for my birthday, still do Bible study, and I'm still going to preach that Sunday. I'm not turning away from what God is saying no more. Mm-mm. And I mean, that was a vacation, and I know God know all about it. It wasn't but 3 or 4 days. Okay, I still got to move forward and get back to business. It's just like everybody fell off the map for those 3 or 4 days that I was gone. I don't understand it. I guess that's why God made leaders. I don't know, but this was such a, and I was looking in my commentary. I tell you, I got 3 to 4 deep pages full of commentary on this thing. This is a heavy, Second Samuel is a heavy book about David. And God has written so much. You know, it's so much you can learn because Apostle Deans was telling me a whole lot of things in there because I was going to let him teach, but I'm kind of glad I didn't because he probably would have got, you know, discouraged by two people being on here. So I'm glad I didn't. But, you know, I get him talking into it again. You know, I talk him into it again. I shouldn't have to do him like that, but I'm trying to get him back to doing stuff. But, yeah, it was good. David is God's heart, and he's a man after God's heart. But he still won't let him do that, and I'm telling you, if he didn't let David do it, if he didn't let David get away with the stuff he got, I don't know what make us think that we're going to get away with this stuff. I'm telling you. And I'm talking to me first. That's why I try my best to stay in the presence of God and try my best to stay in the word of God, doing things for God. I know we have a life. I know we have to live, but we should put God first in everything. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all in his righteousness. And all this other stuff will be added. If we can't do that, I don't understand. Even when I was working, I still studied. I still studied. I had to still study. I had to still get on here and teach and do my training and stuff. I still had to do it. I was tired, so tired. But I still hung on. Just okay. And I ain't gonna keep calling talking about it's Bible study. Will not be getting nothing from me. Now I done already made mistakes like that. And I ain't finna keep making mistakes. Do we have any comments or questions or anything about King David? It seemed like because God loved him. You know, I have a love for him too. And then that bloodline runs all the way to Jesus from David. I'm telling you, that's just an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. Really, really, really is. But it was good. I read a lot. You know, I had a lot to do today, but I had to make time to just try to get through this because this second book of Samuel is so powerful, packed with stuff that God did. Just like when he, you know, like I said, I don't even think this Levite touched the ark. But I believe in his mind or his intention was to catch it because that's not the way that you even carry the ark of the covenant. That's why when you see an ark, when you see the ark, it has rings on the side where you can put poles through that. And the priest's supposed to be carrying it, not that Levite. And but they had the ark sitting on a table on an ox, rocked, he must have stepped in a ditch or whatever, and it rocked, and the Levite thought it was going to fall. And intention was to touch it, and the Lord killed him. The God don't play. Do you hear me? He don't play. Does not play.
I have a question, Apostle.
Okay.
I was trying to remember. It was another time when they moved the Ark of the Covenant the first time when it killed somebody. At that time, too, because they touched or something?
I have to look that up. What was it? You fading in and out. What was it? That's what I thought.
I don't know. Yeah, because I was like, wasn't that the second time? Then they learned from the first time that you can't touch the ark, because I thought it was another time prior, too. I forgot which chapter we were in where somebody did something to the ark. And
okay, I'm gonna look it up.
I think it killed him too, but I can't remember.
Let me see.
Wait a minute. Is it was us? I found somebody else.
Before this last week?
I said, who was the first person that died from touching the Ark of the Covenant? It said us, but I thought it was. Don't say none but us.
I remember something with the Ark. Because they were trying to move it. Or something. I can't remember. I don't even remember what chapter it was.
Was it Aaron's sons or somebody's? But that was some sons that was having them women in the front of the tabernacle. That's what it says. I said, who was pull it up.
I'm going to see if I can find it, because I thought it was something. Let's see. When was the first time Ark moved to during the time? No. What chapter? What?
Luke. That's in the New Testament.
This was when I, it had to be sometime when I started studying with you. Trying to see what chapter. We haven't got the
Wait a minute.
Was the Ark of the Covenant moved? And they were doing with that Ark something before now. They were doing something with it. The Ark of the Covenant located. The Church of St. Mary of Zion. Who sold the Ark of the Covenant?
I'm sorry, y'all. I thought someone was wrong.
They took it to Ebenezer and Ashdod. That sounds like it's getting towards Ashdod. After the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, they moved it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. I remember us talking about that. Was that First Samuel? It seemed like it was before then.
I think it was. 1 Samuel, let me see, the Ark 4 and 11 through 20.
Here. When did it disappear?
The Ark of the Covenant of God was taken by the Philistines, remember?
Right. That's what it says. After the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. And that's what we were studying. But what chapter?
4. 1 Samuel chapter
4. Which book? It wasn't 1 Samuel. I say, which book was it?
It says, let me read what I got. The Ark of the Covenant of God was taken by the Philistines, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed. The same day, a man from the tribe of Benjamin ran from the battle. He tore his clothes and put dust on his head to show his great sadness. When he arrived in Shiloh, Eli was by the side of the road, and Eli was sitting there in a chair. Remember something by the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Benjamite entered Shiloh, he told the bad news. Then all the people in town cried loudly. Eli heard the crying and asked what was all this noise. The Benjamite ran to Eli and told him what had happened. Eli was 98 years old. He was blind. The Benjamite told him, I have come from the battle. I ran all the way there today. Eli asked, what happened, my son? The Benjamin answered, Israel ran away from the Philistines, and the Israelite army has lost many soldiers. Your two sons are both dead, and the Philistines have taken the Ark of the Covenant of God. Maybe that's what it was. They just took it.
Okay.
They didn't. But, you know, for them, well, maybe they was holding it the right way, but they just took it from Eli, Hophni, or whatever, Eli's son. And after mm-hmm. that, Eli fell backwards. But, you know, they had all them women in the front of the church. So God had said he was going to get them. He told Eli
uh-huh.
he was going to get them, and they both got killed.
Maybe that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something. I thought somebody got killed because they did something.
Yeah.
But that.
But the mother had much trouble. Because, you know, God told them that it was that people weren't going to live in their family. And then Phinehas' wife was pregnant. She had the baby, but she struggled having it. And she named the baby Ichabod. Ichabod means the Spirit of God, the glory was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Had departed. And she said that because the Ark of the Covenant had been taken away by the Philistines. That was the glory. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, it was good. Was good. So anyway, I'm not gonna hold y'all. This is a good lesson about David, and it's so important because it leads to Jesus Christ. It'll be good, and we don't have Bible class Thursday, so we won't have it until next Tuesday again. But I thank God I'm going to be studying. I'm going to read ahead again so I can stay ahead of this thing and everything. But we're going to get ready to close out. It was good, though. I really enjoyed myself. I'm going to finish reading my commentary on the rest of it so I can get what it was. But I had asked Pastor Dean, why wouldn't he let David built a house. I thought David had did something wrong. Matter of fact, I thought David had messed with Bathsheba. But he was saying no. He was saying that David's hands was full of blood. It was too much blood on David's hands. So I did learn that tonight because I thought it was Bathsheba because that was a great thing David did too, going to bed with Bathsheba and then having her husband killed, you know. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Mm-hmm. We ain't nobody perfect but God. Even David. So anyway, I'm going to get off. God bless you all. Thank you for coming on to read. And this week, just going to continually to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for your word on tonight. Thank you for opening it up to us, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the ones that's here, God. Even the ones that didn't show up on tonight, Father, I ask you to cover them and bless them and their families. Bless their homes and every vehicle, God, in the name of Jesus. But, Father, I ask you to get their attention, Lord. In the name of Jesus, get their attention, God. It's all about you and less about us. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. You all have a good night, and I'll be on the wake-up call in the morning. God bless you. Have a good night. Love you.
God bless you. Love you.
Love you, too.